Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. It's also in your bulletin. However, I would like you to make sure you have your own Bible open or also a pew Bible open because there are a couple of verses that we're not able to put into the bulletin. So I will be preaching or mentioning a couple of those verses. So make sure you have your Bible app or a pew Bible open. Not only that, but the internet decided not to make the old version of the NIV available anymore. So we are not able to put it into the bulletin. So the bulletin NIV does not match this NIV and probably your application NIV also. But I'll be reading from this. I would like you to join me in reading from this as well. I will be reading from Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, and then verse 11 through 15. So, would you please read with me? Let's begin. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now let's go down to the meaning, verse 11. Ready? Let's go. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. The very words of our Lord Jesus. Amen. This was a part of a sermon that Jesus preached by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, the master teacher, preached everywhere he went. He went to buildings, synagogues. He went to the countrysides. He went to the meadows and preached on mountains. And then one time he was by the water, and there were many people, crowds, that came. And he decided, oh, well, if I'm going to preach to this crowd, let me get in a boat. And from the boat, I'll preach to everyone standing or sitting on the shore. So, and that was the situation of this message that he gave. We are in the subject of the kingdom of God. We're studying that throughout this year. And the parable that we have just read is a parable that Jesus is very famous for teaching. In fact, in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three have this parable in it. So it is one of Jesus' most popular teachings. And for many of you here, probably you have heard this before. And not only have you heard this before, this might be your 5th, 6th, 7th, 10th, 20th time to read this parable and then also to hear a message on it. But I want you to consider something maybe that you might have missed or may have not been mentioned before. And that is actually the key to understanding this parable. The most important point that Jesus is making in this parable is actually not in what we read. It's in the verses in between and also in the verse after. We read from verse 5 through 8, but his point will be in verse 10 and also in verse 18. We didn't read that today. We're going to go over that next week, verse 16 through 18. But I want us to make, I want to make clear the very point of this important part of the scripture. So I want you to take a look, and maybe you can take a note, write a memo, and look at verse 18 of chapter 8. Verse 18 of chapter 8. Jesus says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him." I'm going to go over that next week, but the key is the first sentence. "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." Listen is the key word. And if you paid attention to what we just read, the word "hear" or "listen" was mentioned again and again and again. Those who heard, those who hear. The word "hear" is the key. Listen. And now let's go back and go to verse 10. Verse 10, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." You count the word "hear" mentioned in this part of the scripture, it's mentioned 8 times. If I say something 8 times, it's probably very important. And so what is Jesus saying? Well, he says that in verse 18. Pay attention. Be careful. Take a careful note of how you listen. So my question to you right now is, are you listening? Are you listening? I know that you're looking. And I know that some of you are, okay, yeah, Chris, I'm with you so far. But are you listening? If the gospel writers thought that this was so important, all three of them were careful to put it in their book. What is the most important part? Excuse me, the most important skill in the kingdom of heaven. We're in the kingdom of heaven. What is most important for you and me to do, to be able to do in the kingdom of heaven? Is it to pray? Is it to give? Is it to serve? Is it to worship? I would submit to you the most important part of being a member in the kingdom of heaven is the ability to hear and to listen. Because Jesus is saying, be careful how you listen. And so I want to give you, Jesus gives us three bad ways to listen, 3 wrong ways to listen. And then he gives us one great way to listen. And so that's what I want to give to us today. And I'm just going to go over them not so deeply, not so in depth, but I think this is an interesting perspective. One way that people come to church, and they come, is with a certain expectation. You come to church, maybe it's your first time, maybe it's your 100th time. But for some people, they come to church and they have one thing they want, and that is, entertain me. Entertain me. When I come to church, I want to have an interesting or at least amusing experience. Let the music be good. Let the moderator be good. Let the sermon be funny at least. Or something interesting. Let me hear a story that kind of, you know, keeps me from falling asleep. Maybe there should be some PowerPoint so that I could see something. So that I don't end up doodling all the time. But entertain me. Let there be some lively music. Maybe some drums. Maybe something, you know, big and powerful. Maybe some snacks and refreshments and fellowship. That's the kingdom of God. Some good food and potluck. And don't let it be bad. Let it be good. Let me be entertained. I'm not here to really grow. I'm not here really to learn or hear from God. I just, you know, I'm here because he's here. I'm here because she's here. I'm here because they are here. I'm here because I have to be here. I'm just here, so I might as well have something to do while I'm here. So entertain me. And that's the person with that hard heart. When the sower put out his seed, people were trampling on it, birds were coming down and plucking it away. It just never got in there because the heart was never soft and never upturned. The seed was never able to get because it was just a wall. I just want something interesting. I'm already closed to the gospel, to the preaching of the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ. So that's one kind of hearer or listener. Be careful how you hear. Another one that Jesus gives us, another expectation that we come with is not entertain me, but inspire me. Make me feel good. I've been down in the valley. I've had a hard week. I feel discouraged. I need to be uplifted. I need a story, Chris. Give me a story that, well, you know, somebody's in pain, or and then at the end of the story they feel so good, and or give me a story where, you know, I just feel warm inside because when I go back out, I get empty again, and so I come to church every week to be emotionally filled up. I need to be inspired. And the problem is there's no root. There's no depth. How do I know that? Because the minute you walk out the door, the cloud comes over your head, the rain starts falling, the darkness returns, and you don't even know who you are again. You're shallow. You're a shallow Christian. And How many times have you and I seen people come to church? Oh, that was such a good service. Oh, the sermon got me right between the eyes. Oh, that's just the word I needed this week. I needed that. Oh, thank you. I heard from God. Hallelujah. 2 weeks go by. I don't know where you are. No contact, no email. 3 weeks go by. A month, 2 months. And then on Christmas, you come back. Oh, it's nice to see you again. Where have you been? Don't ask. Okay, I won't tell. Don't ask, don't tell. And then there's even the more heartbreaking one for a pastor. We come in, you're into the word, you're into the music, you're into the fellowship, you love it. You want to get baptized. And then I dunk you. And then maybe your parents, they're against it because they're Buddhist. or your wife or your husband is totally against it, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. Or maybe your family back home says, no, we don't need a religious fanatic. You need to calm that down. And you start feeling some pressure because you're a Christian. And you think, yeah, maybe I should give this up. That's the seed that fell on the rocky soil. It had no root. There was no moisture. What's that moisture? That moisture is faith, trust in God. What does Psalm chapter 1 say? Right? He who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by the water, by the moisture, because he trusts in the Lord. His leaves never wither, right? Bears fruit in all seasons. There's no trust in God. There's trust in the emotions. There's trust in the joy. It feels good. But feeling good is not a proof that you're a Christian. I know I say there's joy in your heart. There's a deep and abiding joy. And that's a true thing. That's not proof that you're a Christian. Better proof that you're a real Christian is that what? You weep. You mourn. You wail. You're broken because of your sin and your disobedience. Psalm chapter 51, a broken and contrite heart. That's the sacrifice of God. A broken heart, he will not turn away. So there's joy, but that only gets you so far. That only gets you so far. So there's entertain me, there's inspire me, and then there's instruct me. Instruct me. And this looks very Christian. This looks deep, and it looks like it's growing. This is, I'm coming to church, I've got my pen, I've got my highlighter, I've got my application, I've got my Bible, the size of a Bible, encyclopedia, I've got my notebook, I've got it all, I'm ready to go, instruct, I got my iPad with a keyboard and blah, blah, blah. I'm taking notes. I want chapter. I want verse. I want cross-reference. I want Greek. Give me the Hebrew. Oh, and give me the doctrine. Give me theology. Give me reason. It better make sense to me. Why? Because it's going to help me grow? Well, maybe. But because faith is based on reason, and I want to have an answer to who. Who are you trying to answer? Who are you talking to? Who are you trying to convince? Yourself? And we come with an expectation. But there's no joy in that. There's no compassion. There's no heart in it. It's just all up in your head. And so it's instruct me. It's inspire me or entertain me. And Jesus is saying, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the kingdom. And Jesus says there's one kind of listener. You have to be careful. One kind of listener. And that's the good soil. So be careful how you listen. And so he gives us in the end there, verse 15, there's the good soil. And it's the one with a good and honest heart that retains what he heard, who heard it and retained it, and then through perseverance produced fruit. So there we see three things happening in the listener. We see the heart is engaged in the listening, a good and honest heart. We see the mind is engaged in the listening. He retained it. He retained what he heard. He remembers it. And then not only is the heart, but the mind, but also the will is engaged in the listening. He, through perseverance, produced fruit. He obeyed it. And so I want to ask you, will you please consider how you listen? Is your heart engaged? Are you feeling the gospel? Are you broken before God? Are you allowing yourself to enjoy worship? I want to give you one piece of advice. If you come, you're not really into the music, And you feel like, why does everybody have to sing so loud? One good piece of advice somebody gave me. The way you really get into worship is you worship yourself into worship. You catch that? You worship yourself into worship. You have to look at yourself and say, open your mouth. Start singing. And you may not feel it, but when you start singing, Jesus will pull that out of you. And you'll start to feel it. But let's go a little bit deeper than that. With a heart, he wants to feel. He hears the testimonies. Maybe somebody's mother is sick. Maybe somebody's friend at school is going through difficulty, and you start to feel it. Maybe you're thinking about the sin that is being described, and you notice Jesus died. His heart was broken for my sin, and you feel it. So the heart is engaged. And then Jesus says he retained it. So not only is his heart engaged, his mind is engaged. Jesus says the greatest commandment is summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Love the Lord with all your mind. And so it's not just a feeling of the gospel. Some of you, yeah, you don't care about reason or logic. As long as the thing feels good. And the mind. There's so much good in this book. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and just about the Old Testament, about the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. I'm in it. And I was telling that person, I love it. There's so much good stuff in there. And he says, really? I said, yes. Jesus is everywhere in there. And he says, what are you talking about? I said, look, will you just think about it for a minute? Just think about it. Just think about it for a minute. Because when you listen, you have to engage your mind. And so, yes, it's good to take notes. Okay, it's good to make highlights, and it's good to have reason and doctrine and theology. Those are good things. And finally, there's a heart, there's the mind engaged, and then Jesus says he went out through perseverance and produced a good crop, the will. Some of us, our heart is in it. We're at church, and it feels good. It feels right. Our mind is in it. And we're sitting there and we're looking and we're with me point by point. But there's no intention to go out and obey. Will you please be careful how you listen? In the kingdom of God, obedience is not an option. Can I say that again? In the kingdom of God, obedience is not a choice. And some of you, you're thinking, Chris, you're just going on and on and on. But you know and I know, there's some things that Jesus is saying. It's not an option for you to say yes or no. Jesus does not give you that option. There's obedience. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Where am I going? I'm going to the Calvary. To die. That's where I'm going. Have you died to yourself? Are you dead yet? So there's the good listener. So that's what I was kind of convicted about this week as I was reading this story. It's very very interesting story. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to bring this home real soon. I could preach this, what I just preached. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you... That I could preach at this church. I could go to the Mormon temple downtown, preach that. I would get the same amens. I could go to a temple, a Buddhist temple. Yeah, that makes very good sense. Jesus is a good teacher. You should be careful how you listen. I could preach this sermon in a mosque, in a Muslim mosque. Yes, Jesus is a good teacher. You should be careful how you listen. Amen. Muslims would be much better if they were careful how they listen. I could go to India, preach this in a Hindu shrine. Yes, Jesus is a good teacher. You should be careful how you listen. The world would be much better if the Hindus, the Muslims, and the Christians would be more careful how they listen. Jesus was not just a good teacher. Be careful how you listen. Be careful what you're reading in here. By mistake, I left out a very important verse. Verse 10. I need you to look at it one more time with me. Verse 10. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. What in the world is Jesus saying here? He's quoting a prophet named Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah was preaching and proclaiming about a king who was going to come. A king who was going to come. He wasn't just going to teach. He was going to bring the kingdom. And he was going to be a judge. Because that's what a king does. A king rules by saying, this is right, this is wrong. This is correct. This is it. These people are the people of my kingdom. These people are not members of my kingdom. That's what the king does. Isaiah was talking about that king. And Jesus quotes him saying, it's me. I'm the king who Isaiah was talking about. I'm the judge that Isaiah was talking about. I'm the one who's not just going to teach you. I'm the one who's going to judge you. That's me. That's Jesus. I'm the Son of Man, the Son of God. I have the right to say you are wrong and you are right. I'm going to judge you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's ordained that every man lives once, dies once, and after that face the judgment of God. And so Jesus is saying, look, be careful how you listen. I'm not just a good teacher. I'm not just a wise guy. I am the king who's coming to judge. And this word is a word of judgment. What does it mean that those who hear, they don't hear, and those who see, they don't see? Some of you right now are saying, Chris, good sermon. But your life is not going to change. You're going to walk out. You're going to live your life of sin. You're going to live your life of morality, being a good person. You're going to think you're a decent person to get into heaven or to be a Christian, whatever. Be careful how you listen. Jesus is not a good teacher. Jesus is not someone you say, yeah, that's a good, interesting parable, good story. No, you bow before the king. You humble yourself. You come to the cross. Let me get there real quick now. I just needed to tell that to the proud people. Some of you guys, you know about your sin. You know you need a savior. You know you need good news. Because you know the thorns in your life. When Jesus talks about thorns, you know thorns. You've got thorns all up in your sides. You've got people with thorns in their hands, and they're raking you with your thorns. When Jesus talks about stones and rocks, you have lots of rocks in your life. In fact, you have people throwing the rocks at you at the moment. Some of you have rocks just piled up all over your shoulders, and you're getting buried under the weight of those rocks. You know rocks. You know thorns. You know what? Jesus knows them too. That word thorn that Jesus uses, that's the same word as the thorns he wore on his head. For our sin, for our thorns. And by his wounds, we are healed. And that stone, that rock that's in there, that's taking away the moisture, Jesus let himself be buried under one of those stones. And after 3 days, he pushed it aside. He said, "We're done with stones. You put your trust in me, I'll be the rock you can now stand on. There's nothing crushing you. You're on me now." Okay? And so some of you need that word. And yes, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy and weary, and I will give you rest." Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Come to the sower. Come to the farmer. Come to the gardener who will plow the soil of your heart, who will send the rain to soften your heart. Chris, how do I be a good listener? How do I have the good soil? I'm not going to tell you go out and be good listeners. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not saying go out and have a good, honest, noble heart, right? Like it says in verse 15, those with noble and honest hearts. And so I say, okay, yeah, we're the Christians. Let's be noble and honest and let's produce a crop. That's baloney. Jeremiah, verse chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's wicked. It has no cure. But then he gives us the gospel in Jeremiah 24, verse 7. It says, "I will give you a new heart. If you believe in me, you put your trust in me, I'm going to take out that nasty, hardened, ugly, thorny, stony heart. I'm going to give you a flesh, a warm, soft, fleshly heart." That's the good and noble heart. You don't have it. Jesus gives it to you. So I'm telling you, come to Jesus. Ask him for that noble heart. Ask him for that good heart. And then you're going to persevere. That's what perseveres, is that faith in Jesus. So come to him, ask him for mercy, and he'll give it to you. That's how good our Jesus is. Amen? Hope I didn't leave anything out. Okay, shall we meditate on that? Would you please bow your heads and close your eyes? Please listen carefully. Not listen carefully. Think carefully how you listen. How is your heart? How is your heart? How are you listening? How should you repent? Who is your Lord? So, Father, I would come to you now on behalf of my dear friends and brothers and sisters. And Lord, we desire not just your teaching. We don't want another story. We don't need another parable. We need you. We need the seed. We need you, Lord, to plow our hearts, to make our hearts soft, to give us new hearts. Lord, we need you. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself and that you would come in a special way to truly transform our life, Lord. That, Lord, some of us have gardens with weeds, thorns, and thistles, and rocks. Lord, transform our lives, God. Let it be a garden. Let it be something beautiful done by you. Let us be new creatures, Lord. This is our sincere prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.